With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now,
right.
Welcome back.
Thank you. So, you're going to put those on my hand? I think you should.
I think so, yeah.
I have been thinking about this all day.
Have you ever had the pleasure before?
I haven't.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, there's one. Will that suction on, or do I need
to? Yeah, no, okay. It will stick on.
There's two.
There's two. And we put the regular little Irish
boy. And it's two. Whoops. Oh. Okay.
Well, we'll get the. There we go.
Okay, I don't want any accidents. So, just to clarify, we're in the critter shed, and you're putting what on my arms right now?
Well, we've got three snails on your arm. But.
They ain't no ordinary snails.
Two of the snails are about the size of your arm.
They are.
So, yeah. Whoops. So we have. They're very sleepy. Okay. We'll pop them on the ground for now.
Okay.
We'll pop them here for now.
Grant. They were falling off, the poor little things. Well, they're not little. They are amazing.
They are. They
and, are the, and quite beautiful.
Yep. So, one of my, stranger animals. I absolutely adore them. But they have such a mixed past and a mixed future. Mm-hmm. So, as a species or as a group of animals, these particular snails that we're going to be focusing on today will be the giant African land snails.
Now, they must be 10 centimetres?
Yep, easily. And will grow up to 20 centimetres.
Really?
Yeah. And some of them, will weigh just touching on a kilo with the shell included. And it depends on species to species what size they'll get. I'm going to show you later on. We're going to have a look at some of their eggs. And you can see the different sizes between different species. So this is a particular species. And this is the albino type of the Vulcana. And this is called a pink-lipped giant land snail. That's the common name of it.
Yeah.
You can see the pink. See it there?
Yeah, so it's the lip where the sort of flesh, the foot is coming out. Yeah.
Yeah. So the part that comes out of the shell is the foot
So the shells, they sort of look like whelk shells, that very round, very what's the word?
Conical,
that's it. And then the albino one, the foot and the head is a sort of a yellow colour.
Yeah.
And
that would be normally the typical brown or grey colour. Very much like this guy here. But when you breed them albinos, they're great for pets. People just seem to warm to them. Kind of very Harry Potter looking magical creatures.
Yeah.
So, very cool.
But indeed. You know what strikes me about these snails? Okay, so there's one there, the albino one, has his head out and he's just very slowly looking around. They sort of look like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer a little bit, don't they?
Yep,
They look cute, their faces actually look cute.
I don't know if you remember a film called The Neverending Story.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, that was out, and I remember there was a racing snail and a guy on a racing snail, and the snail was huge, and he was a little guy racing it, and it was super fast. But I remember that striking me as a very young kid, and I remember seeing these in a pet shop many years ago and thinking, oh my god, I finally get to have a racing snail. Turns out they don't move that fast, so.
Now, of course, like the nothing never was.
They are actually very attractive because we associate them with very cute and cuddly animals, which the smaller snails, I think we probably don't see them quite in the same light.
Yeah, well, here we have our I just brought one of our garden snails here for comparison of size. And this is one of our native Irish snails here for comparison as well, which is one of the lovely coloured ones. You mainly see these around the coast now. There's a lot of introduced snails all over the world. Now, getting back to our giant African land snails, these are in the top 100 most invasive animals on the planet. This is the bad part about them. This is the unfortunate incidents that have come about because of, again, people moving them around to places where they don't belong. And when they get introduced to environments where they don't have any natural predators or diseases that will keep them in check, they run rampant and cause absolute chaos. The best example of this is the South Pacific Islands of the South. I'm going to do that again. The best example of this are the islands around Hawaii. All those islands that would have been used in the war, in the Second World War. The Marines were actually using snails as a source of easy protein. Very edible. Another reason why they've been brought over the world is because they're very edible. People think they're a delicacy and they love to eat them. They breed like rabbits. So what happens is the Marines bring them onto the islands, have a few that they're cooking up. They'll breed them and feed them some leaves. Some get out. They start eating everything on the island, like mayhem, particularly in Hawaii and places like that. What the American government did then to counteract them was to get a snail that is native to Florida called the rosy wolf snail, which is a predatory snail. It essentially follows this slime of a snail and it will just taste it and will go after them and eat them. But the rosy wolf snail is about the size of my index finger.
Which is about a third of the size of this particular snail.
So even if it was to catch up with one of these, it might have a munch or a nibble on it and it will go away. And even the numbers of these, the numbers of young these snails produce, the wolf snails wouldn't put a dent in them. Long story short, the rosy wolf snails got a taste for the indigenous snails of Hawaii. Hawaii being an island has its own unique populations of thousands of these beautiful little kind of pearls of the forest, gorgeous unique snails that all evolved there over millions of years. And 90% of them are now extinct.
No.
And the remaining populations are in sheds or in units that look very similar to micro copies of Jurassic Park, where you have the concrete fencing and electric fences around it and salt traps to keep the rosy wolf snails out. Yeah, it's incredible. It really is. Somebody's making squeaking noises. Didn't you hear that? You were making some funny noises there. So yeah, so these guys, unfortunately, are responsible for the extinction of those beautiful little Hawaiian snails inadvertently, because people brought in the rosy wolf snails to help control their population and it just backfired. So yeah.
So I'm just looking at the albino one now. So the shell is about, 5 inches, 6 inches? And the body now, the foot has just stretched out the same amount again. Like they're very elastic, aren't they?
Yep, and can stretch out even further than that if they want. You can, the suction they have on their foot is unbelievable. Even for a heavy snail like that, they can go like on the roof of an enclosure or whatever particular in the wild, whatever particular branch or tree or leaf they're on, and hang on, no problem. So yeah, very cool. If you look at the top, you have obviously these two stalks here that look like horns. They are actually eye stalks. So they have a tiny pupil in it. Their eyesight is particularly crap. It's literally shadow and light. And that lets them know when it's night and day.
That's it.
The bottom part here is a combination of...
So it's two smaller stalks around, say, what we would look at as a cheek.
So, and just beside the mouth. So the mouth is in the middle. So those two smaller stalks are a combination of your tongue and your nose. So it's like pulling your nose inside out and being able to taste with it as well. To the, what's that? To the right hand side of the head here, you can just see a little bulge. That's the reproductive organs.
Beside the head?
Beside the head.
Seriously?
They literally are the cats.
Have you been thinking that up all day?
No, I just thought about on the spot. Yeah, dickheads, fanny heads as well, actually, and we'll get into that now, because
things are about to get weird.
Yeah, things are very weird when it comes to snail sex. So that opening there actually has both male and female reproductive organs inside.
Wow.
And inside it's like a glove, an inverted rubber glove.
Uh-huh.
When snails go to mate, mm-hmm. one of them will...
So first of all, snails are hermaphrodites.
Hermaphrodites, yes. Yeah. So it means that they're both male and mm-hmm. female. There
yeah,
are no...
They each have... Each yeah. individual has both male and female.
Yes. And that goes for most species of snail.
All right.
Not all. The vast majority of snails are hermaphrodites.
Yeah.
The reproductive organs are inverted or inside, internal. You can only see that little bulge. When one of them wants to mate, it will go up to another. And snail sex is very sensual, believe it or not. Very slow. Goes on for hours and hours and hours. And you'll see them nibbling each other, kissing each other,
and, wow. just,
and slowly moving around each other, doing all these intricate little dances. Each species, slugs as well, each species have their own specific way of doing it, but they take their time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of soul music playing and some candlelight in the background, as I always say. Then this opening here at the side of the head inflates when they're aroused, and two openings come out. So the penis and the opening for a sperm receptacle will come out. Then something really interesting happens. If it's not a virgin snail, if it has mated before, it has the ability to shoot a love dart.
No.
Yeah. So it's called a love dart. And what it is a calcium spike that has mucus on it. Now, there was a lot of debate as to what this was for. Basically, they pump up a gland inside their head with this dart in it and fire it off like a gun and stab the partner. The consensus is now that the reason for the love dart going in is to produce hormones in the opposite snail that will increase the chance of the dart or, as opposed to the dart E, to the dart or sperm surviving. So when they exchange sperm, their bodies automatically attack sperm that isn't theirs.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a kind of a genetic competition. The dart increases your chance of your sperm surviving, increases fertility rates in the eggs. And it's a very weird and interesting thing. It can result in them dying.
Really?
If the dart misses, because it's not going into an appendage or anything. It's literally going into the body of this of
Jesus.
The snail. You can see them sticking out.
Like it was sounding very attractive right up until the dart
bit. It is, because it's very sensual and slow and beautiful. And then they stab each other.
Wow.
it's so mad.
Jesus.
But, and you can see them when I spot mine and they're at them. Start the mating process.
Yeah.
I'll come down the next day, and they'll have the two penises interlocked with the receptacles. But then you'll see the open wound with the dart sticking out of them.
Jeez.
It's really bizarre to see, and that goes on for ages. The genetic material is exchanged.
Yeah.
They'll break away, and they can carry that sperm inside them, fertilizing the eggs, and carry that eggs in them for as long as they need to. Until conditions are perfect.
So does each snail receive sperm from the other one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's how it works.
Right.
It's so alien to us to think about it.
I used to think, you know, when we were growing up and we heard in school that they were hermaphrodites, it wasn't always explained correctly to us.
Yeah.
And you sort of thought, do they fertilize themselves? But of course they don't.
They don't. They can very rarely.
Right.
But they don't.
Ah.
It's not one of those things that would regularly happen. But
yeah.
I believe that it has been recorded.
Wow.
It's such a weird thing to think about. I always refer to my snails, I think a lot of people refer to them as male. I refer to them as female because if you're laying eggs. But I mean, like, I have to get my pronouns straight.
I think it's maybe they.
They, yes. So I don't want to cause murder. So, but it is so bizarre because we're just so used to having... Especially when you have an animal, like you have a cat or a dog, or even the stuff that I have, it's always males and females, but it is a bizarre kind of way of reproducing and getting by in the world. But I think it's fascinating, I really do.
I heard something that you need to either confirm or deny.
Yeah.
I was reading a book today by this guy, Vent, and he did mention that the snails actually, they take a long time, as you say, in coitus.
Yes.
And then they seem to exchange the sperm at the same time. Is
yes.
that true?
Yes. Well, I've heard that before.
Right.
And I've heard that they seem to, some people would say they seem to enjoy it as well. They certainly don't like being disturbed. I know that because sometimes I've had to clean them out. Like if it's breeding season, it gets chaotic because the same conditions for the eggs to hatch are usually the conditions where the adults will start mating. So you have eggs catching and crawling up the glass. So you have to get them out, and then the couples are riding and they're trying to not disturb them and get all the babies off them. So yeah, it's I get the feeling that they're quite lovey-dovey kind of little animals, you know.
Wow.
What I mean,
they you'd never to, think it
no it's very strange
like
very
it's just
strange.
Like the reputation of being slimy and horrible. Yeah. And things you used to stand
but, I mean,
on
the
your
amount
kids.
Of young they have, they must be always at it. It's like the telly's broken in the shell.
But when is breeding season then?
They can breed up to 5 times a year if the mm-hmm. conditions are right. They have 200 eggs each time.
Wow.
This particular type of snail will. And as you can imagine, there's a 90% success rate in hatching.
Right.
So it's massively, massively invasive if it gets to the right place. Like when I was in...
You're just moving that snail out. And you're actually pulling it like it's suctioned so...
Yeah.
So
yeah.
tightly onto the table.
You
in
have
front
to
of
be
us.
Careful. You can see there he's having a munch on the table.
Oh yeah.
So they have like hundreds of these kind of... We'll call them teat. They're like little platelets in their mouth.
Yeah.
That they use for scraping.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put them on your hand, you can feel them scraping
really?
The salts off your hand. And if you put a bit of jam on your finger, you can feel them kind of... It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
And another great use for this is, and this is where kind of like the less negative parts we can talk about these animals... The snail is covered in slime. You have it on your arm there.
I do.
Now, if you were to rub that really hard,
yeah.
it will just fall off.
Oh, right.
right?
Like it's doing
and
now,
your
yeah.
hand will feel very soft. Yes.
Right.
Now, the snails, because they crawl on the ground, they're going over spikes and they're going over stones and yeah. scrapings and all this stuff. And they get pecked and attacked and spear each other when they're having sex. They have to have a very good immune system.
Right.
And a big part of that is their slime.
Mm.
It has antiseptic properties. It has healing properties. It brings about regeneration very quickly. So the cosmetic industry, which is very involved in a lot of research with animals, mm-hmm. obviously. Some bad,
yep.
some good.
Yep.
But one of the good things they're doing is they're taking the slime off the snails and using it in beauty products.
Right.
It's not harmful for the snails. It's yeah. just
they don't have to die for that.
They don't have to die to, be, to get it removed. Yeah. So it's a kind of a nice compromise. And you can really feel how regenerative it is when you put it on your hands. Now, I haven't put it on my face yet. But there are a lot of beauty studios now that are putting small... sugary paste on ladies and gents' face.
Oh, for God's sake. I know where this is going.
And then they'll put the snail on, who will scrape with his mouth the delicious paste off their face. So you can imagine about 5 of them big, huge, giant snails crawling all over you. And as he's scraping this, he's pulling the dead skin off, but the slime is going over you,
mm.
and that is causing you to be very.
I wonder how the snails feel about that.
That's why I am actually 94 years old, and that's how I keep my gorgeous youthful looks. But yeah, I think it's very interesting. Yeah,
I never liked snails as a kid. I guess because they're just slimy and stuff. But when you look at the shells, they're beautiful. But when you look at these big African guys, they are beautiful. I mean,
yeah.
they're adorable.
Well, I mean, 100%. The first animal
yeah.
or anything I ever got into as a kid, and I'm talking like 4-year-old, before I ever had exotic animals, I used to get the biscuit tins, mm-hmm. the tin biscuit tins. All the young people listening to this are going, what is he waffling at? I used to do this back in my day. But so big tins and put punch holes in it with the scissors, and I'd keep 2 things. I'd keep brown beetles, which were gorgeous things. He used to have them all over the garden. And I keep snails. And the first animals I ever bred in captivity were to garden snails. And I remember seeing the eggs and thinking, this is amazing, as a little kid.
How small are the eggs of the Irish?
Well, I'm going to show you, actually. Hopefully we have some I prepared earlier, like Blue Peter. So, I'll show you some later on. But, I've always loved snails. I think they're amazing. The giant African snail is another positive story behind them. So, obviously, there's a lot of people struggling for food and a few bob in Africa. Mm-hmm. The Nigerian government and a lot of Nigerian entrepreneurs now have gotten together and they're now farming the snails. Mm-hmm. So instead of them becoming invasive in their country, because they're mainly from Tanzania and Kenya, most of the species, but they live quite happily in Nigeria, obviously, as well. It's not that far away. So what they're doing is they're setting up small little community greenhouses, not unlike the shed here. Mm-hmm. And people can easily breed them. They'll use invasive plants. So you're chopping down the invasive plants that are all over Africa. It's a massive issue over there. So you're getting rid of one invasive species. You're feeding this to the snails. Mm-hmm. They get big and strong. They don't cause emissions. They don't need much space. They don't cost much money. And when you bring them to market or you sell them to Europe, where they're obviously a delicacy, you make a few bob. It's a very economically sound, environmentally friendly way of poor people making money for little or nothing. So,
how do the poor snails die, though?
I have no idea. I don't know. I would imagine it's... I have no idea, to be honest with you. I'd only be guessing. But I still think it's like, if it's cheaper and better than goats or sheep, and it keeps people in shoes and houses, I think it's okay.
I have something with me.
What have you got with you?
Okay.
Was this the thing you sent me the photograph earlier on?
Yeah. Right, I'm reaching for my bag. It's a camera bag because I wanted to make sure it didn't fall over. Okay, I'm opening the bag now. I'm reaching in and there's a glass jar filled with alcohol and also contains...
Wow. It's a giant African land snail without a shell. That is very cool.
Now, do you know what blew me away? So the African land snail has that beautiful shell that looks like a whelk, that it's sort of twisted into a tip. So it starts off really small, pointy tip. And I just assumed you see the foot and you see the head and that was it. But there's more. The body goes all the way through that shell back into the pointy bit. And you can see that the muscle of the body at the pointy bit is roundy and pointy. So it's molded to the shell. I didn't know that.
Proper and full of meat.
Yeah.
Full of, all the internal organs are up in there as well.
Yeah,
so it's.
Yeah. So that foot that you're seeing is only.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
A small part of the actual
100%. Yeah, it's like it's legs.
Yeah.
It's not its torso. Its torso is in the shell.
Yeah.
think a lot of people, as you were saying there quite rightly, and I would have thought that too until I kind of learned a little bit about it, you think that that is the animal,
yeah,
and that's his house.
Yeah, exactly.
Not part of his body. Yeah. His whole body
with
is...
the furniture inside.
Yeah, completely attached to that. Mm. So, yeah.
So, what we're looking at there, the thing you notice, of course, with the jar that you have and the animal inside, which is, of course, dead. Now, this one did die of natural causes.
Okay.
It looks like a piece of muscle. I'm assuming there's no skeleton.
No. Well, the skeleton is the shell itself, believe mm-hmm. it or not. There's a long kind of a spiral, for want of a better word, spine
mm-hmm.
that runs down the middle of the shell. So if you were to chop that in two,
yeah.
and you... A lot of people would do that in labs when they're having a look at it. You'll see the spiral kind of spacing for the internal, for the guts and the yeah. heart and the lungs and yeah. all that good stuff that's in there. But that's the structure
yeah.
That protects it. That's the same design they had in the ocean hundreds of millions of years ago. And they are essentially, like a lot of invertebrates, still, you know, aquatic life that's just... slightly modified their body type to live on land.
Hmm.
That's why you'll see snails on a night like tonight when it's nice and moist and humid, they'll be all out mm-hmm. munching and eating. And then when the time comes for the winter to set in, they'll disappear and they'll cover themselves.
The snail is just running away.
He's going mental. Yeah, this one hasn't even moved. This one's completely lazy.
The other one's very shy. The other one's actually pulled the head inside the shell.
Yeah, sometimes when you see them like that and there's a lot of... You see the liquid kind of coming yeah. off them? It's very slimy. He might have just been engaging in some...
Oh, for God's
romance
sake.
And he might have a spike in him somewhere.
Is that a tiny little cigarette
I see? He's having a fag.
A little wisp
afterwards.
Of smoke
yeah.
coming out of the shell.
It's quite traumatic sometimes for snails as well. And you know, like a virgin snail can't shoot that dart.
Oh, really?
It's only after they've been mated with the first time that they get the ability, the hormones kick in, for them to grow their own dart.
No way.
Yeah, it's a
And
really
it's calcium. Wow.
Yeah, pure calcium.
That's amazing.
So I think it can be quite traumatic for them as well when they're kind of in the middle of romance and then next minute get stabbed in the neck.
I would imagine.
Yes, it's not great. But that's
mind you, when it comes down to spiders versus snails, God, the snails have it so much better, don't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Riding sticks.
I really think snails have it good up to the point of being stabbed. You know, it's a bit of
They're not eaten by their partner.
It's a bit of a strange relationship.
Yeah. But how amazing is that? We're looking at this gorgeous creature and you have no idea that they're an attentive, sensual lover.
Yeah, that's it. There's a beautiful, not too distantly related to our snails here. There's the leopard slugs. And if I can recommend just look up anything, it's go onto YouTube and bang in leopard slug mating and you should have the wonderful dulcet tones of Sir David Attenborough come on and you'll talk about how these beautiful leopard slugs start their little dance and their sensual kissing and cuddling, and they'll crawl up onto a branch, intertwine their reproductive organs, which fan out into a chandelier.
No.
A Mickey's chandelier. And it's absolutely stunning.
Wow.
Stunningly beautiful. Wow. Until you kind of think, oh my God, that's
what it's made of.
That's a load of junk there, right out there for everyone to see. But yeah, it's a beautiful process. And you can actually see that in places like the Dublin Mountains because we have
really?
Our own little leopard slugs up there.
Why the hell did you have any here?
I
You've got everything else.
Yeah,
probably.
I think they're quite this would be too warm for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it would be a native species to
Ireland.
Oh,
yeah. And they're very varied. Like the ones in Dublin Mountains almost look like that black and kind of white candy stripe kind of colours. It's
right,
very cool.
So come here. Are slugs shell-less snails or is that too simplistic?
They're just cats and dogs maybe would be a similar kind of a thing.
Yeah.
They developed chemical defences as opposed to physical defences.
Right.
How's that sound?
Yeah.
So they'd be cousins that just handle things differently. The slugs tend to have very viscous, horrible, sticky slime that comes off them.
Mm-hmm.
Much more so than snails do. Snails is just, it's not used for defence.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the slugs one, it just, it gets caught up. But you see animals that try and eat it, like some of my lizards love slugs, but it takes them about an hour to get all that goo off their face. So yeah, it's just very closely related, but just came up with two different answers to the problems of life.
But we should also love slugs. I mean, when we were kids, we did that awful thing of and for snails, putting salt out for them.
Oh, stop.
Wasn't that terrible?
Yeah.
I'm hoping nobody does that anymore, because they are needed, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't think anybody does anything with animals anymore. Kids are just always on the computers giving out about that. But no, I think everybody's very aware now of cruelty and trying not to be cruel.
And no slug pellets.
Unless it's absolutely necessary. Yes, there's a thing. The slug pellets aren't good. There's plenty of ways of dealing with slugs in your garden that is environmentally friendly, especially now we have nematode worms specifically designed to kill slugs, and they work for months, and they work in whole populations, and they'll wipe them out, and they cost you about 20 quid, and they're environmentally friendly. And frogs and hedgehogs and everything can even eat these dying slugs, and they'll do okay, you know. So
now I have something else in my bag.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to reach in and pull out this very gently, because if it gets broken, I will be killed.
Oh.
And it's the shell. Spear.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful? So it's So it's a shell that's way bigger than the snails that you have. It's obviously an older...
It's beautiful, isn't it? It almost looks like... If you were to show that to anyone, where would you say that came from?
I just saw that on the shelf and I assumed it was from the sea.
Sea. Yeah, exactly.
I did not know it was a giant land snail.
Yeah. They are amazing.
Beautiful.
They're all over my mother's house, believe it or
not.
Yeah, anytime I lose a snail, she wants the shell.
They are lovely. Yeah. They are lovely. And you can see, so how this one, they obviously start and they, as they grow, they create this conical shape, the spiral shape. Yeah. And you can see at one point, part of the shell is a little bit different to the others. It might have been damaged there at some point.
Yep.
And it just, so they're very good at healing themselves.
Yeah, they are. And from the back of the shell, that's the baby.
Yeah.
And as you move forward towards the front of the head,
That's
as it grows as an adult.
Yeah.
It's almost like tree lines.
Yeah.
See where you can see the lines here?
Yeah.
And then if you go to
But the lines are going from the top of the head down towards the bottom of the shell rather than around.
Exactly.
Now, I have a question for you. I heard that there was, in parts of Africa where these snails are native to, these snails used to mysteriously disappear and people didn't know what was going on. But what was going on?
It's a dry season.
And what happens then?
They estivate. It's the hot version of hibernation. So basically when it gets really warm, animals like this who are, again, essentially aquatic animals that adapted to live on land, they go in underground, pull themselves into their shell, cover the entrance to their shell with a very thin veneer of paper-like substance, which hardens up. They have an air hole so they can breathe, and they'll just shut down all their systems to survive for as long as it takes. They can do it for up to 3 years, no problem.
Probably 3 years?
Longer. Yep.
God.
And the longer they have to do that between dry seasons, the longer a snail will live.
Wow.
So generally 5 to 7 years in captivity, you can get them to live as pets.
Yep.
But they have been recorded up to 15 years because people just left them dry out. So they're not born up energy. It's kind of very much like a tortoise life. So it's really long lived for a small invertebrate.
Yeah. And I've heard people say that, you know, when the rain comes back, boom, suddenly there's snails everywhere.
Everywhere. It's incredible. It's actually incredible to like, I've seen them all over the world. In Africa, where they belong, rainy season, they pop up and they're everywhere. It's incredible. Them and the giant millipedes, who I'm sure we'll be talking about sometime as well. But they're everywhere and it's incredible to see. But I've seen them in Southeast Asia, where they don't belong.
Mm-hmm.
And in places like Singapore, there's giant posters everywhere with big, like, pictures of giant snails and the Ghostbusters sign through them, like, no snails. They have a specific force of, I won't say police, but I was calling them the snail police. But they have civil servants in uniforms who literally are the snail squad, going around picking them up off city centre streets. Like, they're crawling around eating everything they can.
Wow.
Pizza on the ground and everything. So they're just picking them up all the time. So massive issue. Like
they're rats.
It's bizarre. It's so bizarre. Now, the danger with them around people in hotter climates is rat lungworm. It's a parasite. It gets into the rat, rat poos it out. Snails eat everything, so they'll eat bird poo, rat poo, dog poo, and that parasite gets into them. They can crawl on vegetables and the parasite will come out. Somebody will eat it, maybe it's in a salad and it hasn't been cooked up, and that can lead to all sorts of nasty stuff like meningitis. So while they have their beautiful side and their plus sides for humanity, they also have this really dark past and of destruction and chaos that they've left in their wake. And you have to be careful when you're around wild ones. So if you are on holidays and you do see a giant snail, don't pick it up, just mm-hmm. leave it as it is, but you can admire it from afar.
Mm-hmm. And just think that they're great lovers.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Just say, yeah, off you go there to do your nasty business for hours and hours on end.
Wow.
Staying power of a snail. Oh, do you want to see some babies?
Oh, I'd love to.
Let's go.
Okay. So we're heading out, are we?
Yeah.
I'm going to go down far. The side
These are ridiculously cute.
So we're looking at different species of snail. Oh, it's the same species?
That's the same as them when they're, yeah. That's just their, when they're babies. They're gorgeous.
They're the size of the top of your, like the first bit of your thumb. Do you know what they look like? Those chocolate snails, yeah. Gruyere.
And you'd never think that baby snails would be cute, but they are. There's nothing going to attack you. It's all leaves.
No, just...
Oh, your head. Yeah, watch yourself.
They're beautiful.
They are gorgeous, aren't they?
They are really lovely.
And look at the amount of them.
God, have you counted them?
Oh, jeez, I've looking fruit flies everywhere here. I've thousands this year.
Wow. And what do you do with them?
So, a lot of them will be food for other animals.
Okay.
It sounds bad.
You just dropped a couple.
It sounds bad, but it's part of what would happen to them in the wild anyway.
Yeah.
Especially where they're natively from. They make up the vast majority of the diets of bosque monitors and other kind of heavy-duty lizard predators that are designed with these big crunching teeth to munch them up. Mm-hmm. My blue-tongued skinks adore snails. So it's snails for breakfast, dinner and tea. And then some of the nice albino ones, there's always kids that are interested in getting into bugs and animals, and I'll give them to a good home if they're looking for them as well.
I noticed that there's a whole bunch of them sitting on top of a cuttlefish.
Yes. So in the wild, they will go along and they will use that scraping mouth we were talking about earlier on to pick up bits of dirt on the ground, sand, quartz, anything like that, munch it up and then convert that into a calcium carbonate for their shell. I just put in the cuttlefish because that works perfectly well, and they get this lovely kind of nice patterns on their shell.
Like the striated.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
So they're chocolate brown with that sort of like almost milk, white chocolate stripe through them.
And because they're albinos, this particular batch, they look like sweets almost.
They do look like sweets.
They look like little sweets. So, yeah. I'm very pleased with them. I'm very happy.
Snail daddy.
Yeah, snail daddy. They get drunk as well, which is brilliant.
On what?
So sometimes I put their food in, and I kind of use chicken feed as well because that's a good mix for them.
Yeah.
As well as greens and stuff. But it's in the heat, it ferments, and then you just see all these snails. You can smell it. You can actually smell it.
What does a drunk snail do?
You smell it? Have a smell. It smells like alcohol.
Oh my God, it does actually. Yeah.
It's mad.
So what do drunks...
They get mad randy.
But how big, when do they start mating? Like, how big do they have to be? So these are still small, they're about an inch.
Yeah, so when, after, it depends on the food you feed them. They can get up to in about 6 months in these ones.
Yeah.
By a year, you should have them all ready to mate. But
and they're mating when they're like 6 inches, eight
big,
inches?
Yeah,
something
big.
Like that.
Because they have to be, because they're both male and female, they have to be able to carry egg loads.
Yeah. Do you know how many eggs they carry?
200 around, approximately. Yeah. So, yeah.
Then they're laid and then they're regenerated.
Each species will lay different types. So our own native ones will carry about 100 eggs. Some of the rarer species will carry smaller ones. And the pink lip ones I showed you in there, they lay 5 to 6, but they'll lay massive eggs. They look like reptile eggs. I'm going to show you something here.
And come here, with the eggs are obviously fertilised inside.
Yes, internal. Everything is the same as us, except it's doubled up.
Okay.
Now, oh yes, we've got lucky. Look at this.
Oh, look at that. You've just lifted up, you have a little piece of skirting board covering up a piece of ground here.
Yeah.
And you're lifting them up and there's beautiful bunches of white eggs.
This is my one of my little gardening tips for people who want to encourage wildlife. If you have old, if you see planks of wood or planks of old decking.
It's like a piece of decking, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So I pulled that from a skip and I throw them down everywhere. I throw them in my front garden where it's where there's bare concrete, and it just gives perfect habitat for animals to do this. Now, I encourage slugs and snails into my garden because I have so many frogs that I never have an issue with them.
Yeah.
So I like to see this. It's a sign of a good, healthy ecosystem. And you'll always see slugs around, but you'll never see too many.
Is that a frog's leg?
That is a slug.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. A small one.
There you go. But yeah, those eggs are here.
So describe them.
If you have drawn pins that go in the board, you know the pins that go in the board, the cork board? They're about the size of the head of one of them.
Yeah. Except the little plastic bit on
plastic
the end.
Yeah. And they're pure white.
Yeah, they're amazing looking.
Probably about 50 here, I would say.
Wow.
Nice to see.
Yeah.
And they'll all hatch out into very small.
So are they the African land snails or are they native snails?
They're native snails now.
Oh, wow. But the eggs are big for them.
Yeah. No, you would never. African land snails would never survive.
Okay.
In
on the ground here, like,
definitely not. They might get okay along for a while, but they'll never survive. Mm. And it's part of the reason we're allowed to have them here. If you try and get African land snails into most semi-tropical or warm countries, you'll be shot because they are so illegal.
Right,
it's insanely illegal.
Okay.
Can you get through there?
I can. Jeez, I'm not that fat.
No, it's just... Yeah, I'm going to show you the eggs.
Although I am awkward. We're going back into the kitchen. Right, we're in the kitchen now. Because that's where people keep their snails.
Yeah, I used to keep them in the shed. But I found that I lost a lot of them. Because they are such a...
So you're just taking a picture of Thin Lizzy off the...
Phil Lennon
off the
he's
the terrarium.
Guardian of the snails, Philo.
And you have a terrarium here now.
Yeah.
So you're lifting the top off this and I'm seeing a snail, African snail on the side.
Yeah.
And there's a little snake in there as well. Is that a snake? No, it's a millipede, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I have here. Yeah, that's the African millipede. So they would live together naturally.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect setup. You have your leaf litter. You'll also notice...
Does Ruth like the flies?
Oh, she has no choice. It's only that
tiny frog.
Yeah, so these are, you know, my toads that are in the hall.
Yeah.
So these are the babies of
them. Oh my god!
Now it's very, very hard to feed tiny toads.
Yeah.
What happens with snails is they attract fruit flies.
Mm-hmm.
Toads love fruit flies,
right.
And also, if you look around here, you'll see tiny little springtails.
Oh, springtails are.
They're just a really minute microscopic invertebrate that eats poo and loves snail poo.
Right.
So to keep their numbers down and keep my toads healthy, I use both.
You have a whole circle of life going on in there.
Exactly. Yeah. And you just keep it all together and it works really well. So anyway, what were we here for? Look, we're getting distracted by all the beautiful toads. Here we go.
And you have your kitchen waste in there. You have carrot bits and stuff.
All
that's great.
The dinners go in here. So now I'm just digging around to show you something. Now, here is a batch. So have a look there, Colette. Tell me what you see.
No, I don't have. Oh my God, eggs! But they're so much bigger. They're white, so much bigger than the other ones. They're about a half centimeter. No, less than half centimeter.
They look like Smarties.
They look like Smarties, yeah.
And there's if and you go down there, there are hundreds
of
them.
Wow.
So I just pop them down. Put your hand in and just have a feel. Feel the warmth?
Oh yeah.
So that's composting.
Amazing.
It's keeping them warm.
Yeah.
They know what level to put their eggs down at that will help them to hatch. So like they're not parenting, but they're not just willy nilly laying their eggs anywhere.
Willy
fanny.
So when those
more eggs.
When they hatch, do they have shells? Are they ready to go?
They hatch out.
Mm-hmm.
They have very delicate shells, but they are there. And then they eat the shell of their egg.
Oh.
And that's their first bang of calcium. Now,
clever.
Pink lips eggs are even...
bigger.
Jesus Christ, that looks like an M&M. Big, a really big.
It looks
M&M.
Like a grape,
like
nearly.
Peanut,
yeah, yeah, it's massive.
A covered peanut.
So you can believe that's a snail egg.
Jesus, that does look like a snake egg. It's a centimetre.
Yeah.
Quite.
It's crazy big.
That's insane.
So yeah, there's three different types of snail eggs you're at the sea in there. So the native ones, and again with the heat and the source of food that you get in tropical countries, the size difference in the animal itself and in its young is incredible. Like, their snail babies look like our adult snails.
They do,
It's mad to say.
That's amazing. So those snail babies that we're looking at, how old are they, or when do they hatch, do you think?
3 to 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
So you can see the progression is very rapid.
Yeah.
As they're growing, if you put your finger there, that's see the there. Edge of the shell? Push it hard. See how it gives?
Oh, yeah.
So yes, that's it's hardening up as it goes along.
Yeah.
And that injury we were looking at in your shell earlier on is probably when that got a bang as a young.
Ah, right, yeah.
And then just it heals up and spreads out.
But they heal themselves very readily, don't they?
Very readily. That's part of the reason why the cosmetic industry, as we were saying, is very interested in people rubbing snail goo on their face. Which, you know, when
Holly,
you
this could be your next job now. This could be your next big thing.
If I stood in the middle of O'Connell Street shouting, would you like some of my snail goo on your face? I'd probably get arrested.
No, but if you started shouting that and charging 200 quid for it, people would buy it.
They might. All right, end up in a mental home. There you go. I've been looking forward to talking about snails for ages because I think it was just all the breeding happening and everything. I was like,
well, how was it for you?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah. Slow and sensual. Right, so there you go.
There we go. That was another.
Did you enjoy that? Have I convinced you?
Do you know
about
what?
The beauty of snails.
I'd never thought about snails before. I really hadn't.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed by them.
Right, there you go.
Right, better go off and wash my hands now.
Yeah, both of us better. Oh, I have some alcohol we can use. So, okay. Perfect.
Lovely.
Excellent.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.